Did you ever really, you know, sit down and think real hard on salvation and where it comes from, although you know, and why it's necessary, although you probably know that too? But what if there had been, suppose, a different way of attaining salvation? Now, I know for a fact there are lots and lots of people in the world today who believe that there, what we call salvation, they've already attained that, and they don't need an intermediary like Jesus Christ stuck in the middle of it all. And why would a righteous God send his own son to a cruel cross to be tortured and suffer and die and bleed and all that for anybody on this earth? It just doesn't make any sense. Or does it? I've entitled my message today, Why the Cross? Why the Cross? And why salvation? Why? You know, it breaks my heart. Deep inside, I feel there's something desperately amiss within me. And it's not my salvation, but I feel such a sadness, I guess, for lack of another word, because of what Jesus had to go through. I mean, for a sinner like me, if I were the only sinner in the world, he would have done that. He would have suffered and died, been tortured, and hung on that cross in terrible agony. Just for a sinner like me. But why? Well, sometimes you've got to think, why make his son suffer and be tortured so much and die? Why wouldn't God choose another way? At least a way that would not cause so much pain and suffering to his only begotten son. It hurts. But you know what? We can all question God. Time in and time out, we can question him. We'll always have something we want to know. Why do? That's why there's so many churches out there, because they want to know why. And the preachers are giving them answers to their whys. Although they're not scriptural and they don't make a lot of sense, most of them, they're still getting answers that they want to hear that will comfort them. But why me? Why? Why did Jesus Christ have to be crucified? Why? Why did it have to be the most horrible and cruelest form of torture and death imaginable to mankind? Why? Because the cost of man's redemption is totally in the hands of God the Father. You see, we can ask all these whys we want, but God knows all the answers to these whys. And until we get home to glory, we won't know all the answers. Because the cost of man's redemption is totally, totally in the hands of God. There is no other way. According to God, there is no other way. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. And only by this once for all sacrifice can the sin issue be resolved. Only by this. Using today's vernacular or way of speaking, death by the cross back then, you might say, was in vogue. I mean, more people were crucified that were strung up along the Appian Way. They were here, there, all over the countryside. People hanging on crosses. A horrible way to die. Back then, it was like it was popular. It was hip. It was cool with it. The fashionable way to be executed, if there is such one. The pictures that you see in books and magazines, they don't accurately depict. They don't accurately depict what our Savior went through. Not only on the cross, but on his way to the cross. And nor do they show the images of his true countenance. None. His demeanor, though that of a man in his early 30s, cannot be accurately substantiated. We don't have pictures. Did he have long hair or short hair? Does it matter? Perhaps only the hippies and the flower children of the 70s believe for sure. And what of the nail prints? What of the nail prints? Did Thomas really supply us with the answer concerning the nail prints? Were the nail prints in the hands, on the palms, or were the spikes driven through his wrists? Why would we argue about it? Okay, but I'm asking anyway. I know what I think. If we read from the book of John, the words of God, then we'll find out a lot of information. In the book of John, chapter 20, we'll read John chapter 20, we'll read up to, 25 to 28, maybe 29, okay? Okay, let's go there. John 20, chapter 20, 25 to 29, okay? The other disciples, therefore, said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands. Now, this is Thomas, doubting Thomas, remember him? Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Well, doody-doody-do. And after 8 days again, his disciples were with him, and Thomas with them. Curious, right? Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, because Jesus knew what was going on in Thomas's mind all along, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And the many signs, and many other signs, truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing he might have life through his name. Wonderful. Isn't that just simply wonderful? Wonderful indeed. Now, what do we get from all this? What do we get? Well, we'll just have to examine that. Let us then consider the following. Consider this. All the pictures I see, and maybe you too, show clearly the spikes through our Savior's palms, through his hands. Now, if this be so, listen carefully, if this be so, then would not his body weight over a period of time cause the nails to rip through the flesh between the fingers? Unless, of course, as depicted in some other pictures, his lower arms, is the radius and ulna, the lower part of the arms, were tied by ropes to the crossbar to prevent such an action from taking place. Thus, the ripping of the flesh would be minimal and not a factor. Have you considered that? Now, bear in mind also that the use of binding the arms to the cross could also enable our Savior to breathe easier, which would in turn prolong his life upon the tree or the cross, even beyond the timeline as we know it. Because when Jesus was asphyxiated because he couldn't breathe, because he had to keep pushing up against the nails, against the spikes, in order to let some air come out or some air come into his lungs. And finally become so weak he couldn't do it. Now, if he had the ropes tied around his arms holding him up on the cross, he would not have to pull himself up as such, at least not to that degree, which would mean it would take longer for him to die. Something to think about. Or, if the spikes were driven through the wrists, would they not have a natural blocking point in the corpuscles of the wrist? This assembly of bones where the wrist actually joins the hand? That could, or should, or did prevent the tearing away of the flesh. And also, it's been said, and I'm not a medical practitioner by any stretch of the imagination, but it's also been said that the wrist is a part of the hand. So when he says his hands, he could be showing his wrist. Now, I'm not trying to create a lot of controversy here. I'm just saying this because it is speculative and people wonder and they ask these questions. And I'm not going to go to somebody and say, don't be so silly, will you? Just take it at face value and get over it. No. When people ask questions, you should be able to give them an answer. Or even if you don't know the exact answer, do not shun them. Bad for business. Bad for soul winning. So, did Thomas put his hand or his finger into what we call the hand or into the wrist of the hand? The wrist of the hand. My question is, Does it really matter? Does it? Does it matter if the nails were through the Savior's palms or through the Savior's wrists? It doesn't matter to me if it doesn't matter to God. Does it matter if his forearms were tied to the cross piece and or not tied at all? Does that matter? Again, it doesn't matter to me. Well, what does matter, though, is this. It matters that our Savior was crucified on Mount Calvary. Why? For the sin of the whole world. Now that really matters. It matters that the shedding of his precious sinless blood was to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That matters. It matters that his great suffering and sacrifice at Calvary would and does provide salvation to all who repent and believe. That matters. It matters that he rose again on the third day to proclaim the debt paid in full, never, never to be repeated. That matters. If you believe it does not matter, then hear this. Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father, suffered and died in vain. And you will have eternity in hell to think about it. Does that matter to you? It should. You see, if you don't believe in hell, then what's the point in believing in Christ? Because if there's no hell, then there's no need for Christ. And he died in vain. So, what may sound strange about the crucifixion is this. Jesus didn't just give in to the enemy because he was overpowered. No! He could have simply toddled off down the path, leaving the Roman soldiers and jeering crowd with egg on their face. He could have. I mean, he could have said, "Who needs this? I'm out of here." He could have grabbed the whip out of the lasher's hand and given him a good trouncing. He could have taken the crown of plaited thorns and tossed it into the maddening crowd. When someone spat on him, he turned the other cheek. When they cursed him, he cursed them not in return. In conclusion, not the end. Now, think about this. If Christ had chosen to throw in the proverbial towel and just walk away, not only would he have broken his Father's heart, but by aborting his mission, there would have been hell to pay, literally. And hell to pay simply means no hope. No hope. We would all perish in the flames of hell for all eternity. I purposely avoided using a lot of scripture verses here during my sermon, but I'm not going to let you off the hook completely. In John 10, verse 15, Jesus is speaking. And he says, "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I, the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Are you one of the sheep? I am. I chose to be a sheep when I believed in Christ. When I repented, I became one of his sheep. Put up your hand and say, Amen, I'm a sheep. Or say, Bah, if you want to. Over in John 10, verse 17, the Word of God says, Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Can you do that? Lay down your life and take it up again? I can't. But he can. He did it. We have proof. And we have faith. And finally, John, the book of John 10, verse 18. Listen very carefully. No man take it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. Wow. Conclusion number two. Every month, God sends us here so that we may pass on to you people in the seniors' home. That we may pass on to you his great glory and his great love, which is plainly given in John 3:16. And I'm sure if you know anything about Christ, you know this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow. When I look around this room, I see precious souls. Souls that are either saved or need to be saved. That's our mission for being here. One thing you all have in common, you are in the twilight of your life. You may go to bed tonight and wake up in hell. How dreadful a thought. But it's true. You may go to bed tonight and wake up in hell. Or you may close your eyes in sleep, and when you open them, you'll be looking upon the face of Jesus Christ. Wow. Your destiny is in your own hands. You know that? I would urge you, before you decide that this very day before you leave this room, go back to your home. Heaven or hell? Heaven or hell? If you go into your room and you want to pray, pray to God. John 6:44, Jesus said, No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. You don't take a shortcut to Jesus. You talk to the Father. He's the one who draws you to Jesus. Now, there are those who are drawn to Jesus by God. May I say, even before you bring it up to the Father's face. But you don't know that. But unless you proclaim your faith in the gospel and repent, that drawing isn't going to get you anywhere. Remember that. God draws us all to the Son. And the Son will raise us up in the last day. In Hebrews 7:19, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of the law did, by the which we draw nigh to God. James 4:8, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. He will. I love you, people. I love you. We love you. God loves you. May He bless each and every one of you. Dear Heavenly Father, please, Lord, if there are any here in this, in these people here tonight, among them, who does not, who has not received Jesus as their Savior, has not prayed to God and sought out salvation truly in their heart, Lord, I beg of you, please. Please, Lord, have mercy on them. Please talk to their heart, Lord. I pray they will hear. I pray the words that were spoken here tonight will give them that desire to reach out to you, that they may be drawn to Jesus Christ for salvation. And may repentance have freedom to roam about throughout this building today. In the name of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.